root, now I rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate, I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.
That's right. You're here on the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. We're back for another week of exciting, exciting, exciting sports throughout the nation. Locally here in South Florida, there's a lot of breaking news within this week of sports, from the high school level to the college level to the pro level, that's going on. And we're going to bring it to you as much as we can here on the Tony Sands Show. One of the stories we're going to get into, there's been a breaking story here in high school football. A breaking story here in high school football. A major acquisition by a major program. We're going to give you a little bit of that. We're going to get into a little bit of the UM saga that's breaking with the NCAA. I told you, these guys were bullies. The NCAA lives up to their name again. We're going to get into a little bit of the brain damage that is being found in living retired players. Living retired players. Also, Junior Seau family has filed a wrongful death suit against the NFL. We're going to tap into that a little bit. We're going to get into that story because it's going to be juicy. We're going to get your opinions. You can call us here on the Tony Sand Show at 530-513-6472. Or you can call us 530-413-9537 here on the Tony Sands Show. It's going to be exciting. We're going to bring on in the first hour of the show, we're bringing on Julie Corona at 8:05. Then we're going to go to Texas, bring on Mr. Bibbs around the 8:20 hour. And around that 8:40 hour, we're going to bring on our NFL insider, Vaughn Carter, to talk playoffs. 49ers, Ravens, Brothers, Harbaugh Bowl. Is it the Harbaugh Bowl or is it the 49ers and the Ravens? I don't know. I'm going to let you be the guest of that question here on the Tony Sands Show. But without further ado, let's get into a little bit this breaking story. And we're going to, when we bring Julie on, we're going to get into a little bit of that. Here we go. John O'Connor out at St. Thomas, goes to commit to Houston, goes on, helps St. Thomas win a state championship. Leaves. St. Thomas, what? Wonder what's going to happen at the quarterback position. We don't have a top-notch quarterback. All of a sudden in December, the Freeback family, that's Wade Freeback, quarterback at Western High School, one of the top-rated 2014 class quarterbacks, applies for enrollment at St. Thomas Aquinas High School back in December before we went on the break and gets it. He gets it, folks. He's now attending classes at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. 6'4", 185-pound quarterback, top prospect for next year's 2014 class, has enrolled in St. Thomas. When you look at a situation to where a kid transfers in his senior, still in his junior and senior year, transfer in, and all of a sudden, what do it do to Western and what do it do to St. Thomas? Wow. What do it do in these type of situations? St. Thomas get, it's a win-win for them. Western Tigers, that's right. Not Western Tigers, that's my little league team. I'm always pulling them. Western High School. Now, here you're a team, you thinking, you know, we get our top-notch quarterback back, you know, we're playing, we can ball out. We have an opportunity to win our district. And all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, your whole season goes up into smokes. Goes up completely in smoke, people. Help St. Thomas. St. Thomas, I'm telling you, to me, it's a win-win for St. Thomas. A win-win. Here you are. you lose a top-notch quarterback in Mr. O'Connor, and all of a sudden now you get Mr. Freeback as your guy. Now, if a guy that was there after O'Connor and thought he was going to get an opportunity to step in and play the role, buddy, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And that's the irony of a place and a program like St. Thomas. That's why you got to always stay on top of your game. And that's what's going on at the high school level of high school football. But now, I want you to listen to this audio. And this is another breaking story that's taking place here in the South Florida. I'm going to let you listen to this audio, and then we're going to get into it.
The NCAA has found what it calls a very severe case of improper conduct committed by former members of its own enforcement program during the Miami investigation, and will not deliver the long-awaited notice of allegations against the Hurricanes until an external review is completed. The sports governing body said former enforcement staff members worked with the criminal defense attorney for former Miami booster and convicted Ponzi scheme architect Nevin Shapiro to improperly obtain information through a bankruptcy proceeding that did not involve the NCAA. In a statement, NCAA President Dr. Mark Emmert said, "To say the least, I am angered and saddened by this situation. Trust and credibility are essential to our regulatory tasks. My intent is to ensure our investigatory functions operate with integrity and are fair and consistent with our member schools, athletic staff, and most importantly, our student athletes." Clearly, this is
now you hear that. You hear it is breaking news on ESPN, but breaking news here in the South Florida area, because this station here, this show is based out of South Florida, but we are a national show. NCAA, man, I tell you, that's why I keep on saying it. These guys need some type of governing body to govern over what they can look into and what they can't. And as we found out here, you trying to dig trash with trash. You're digging for trash with trash. You violating the rules to get violations on the rules. Who is the greater or who is the lesser of the two? Call here on the Tony Sands Show and give me your opinion on this topic. 530-513-6472. 530-413-9537. Here, this is breaking story. What happens? UM. And I think it's a lose-lose for UM, even though people are saying it's a win-win. Why? Because UM decided to impose a self-imposed ban on themselves. They self-imposed bans on themselves because they felt that the punishment that the NCAA was going to lay down was going to help ease it if they imposed a ban on themselves. And I think it was unjust to the players, unjust to the seniors that was leaving, because all this to me was a bunch of smoke that you got from a guy that cheated his way to the top, so he felt he would hurt those that wouldn't pay him any attention after he got caught. After he got caught, they wouldn't pay him any attention. NCAA was the only people that would listen to this guy and believe him. And they got that through bad information, because his, Nevin Shapiro, attorney, sent a bill to the NCAA. Sent the bill to the NCAA. Because in a bankruptcy case, information that they would have never even gotten. So he helped the NCAA become crooked again. Now it's his attorney that's helped feeding negative, 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 negative information. Because I think it was an injust to these young men that left the University of Miami in their senior year and was looking to go to a bowl game, because they would have, you know, that would have been accomplished by him. They would have got into a bowl game. They would have got into a bowl game, but due to the fact of them self-imposing, and I think I would have waited. I still say to this day, I'm going to let you ban, you know, hand me the sanctions after everything goes down, and we'll live with what we got to live with. We're not going to go any further, and we're not going to go and impose early. That's my opinion. I think down to the later numbers, I think we jumped the gun. and self-imposed too soon. I knew the NCAA didn't have much. And I think this is another smokescreen that they're using to justify all this big hype that they were saying that they had this, that, and the other. They tried to bully ex-players around, telling them that if they don't tell them the truth, that was a sign of guilt. That was a sign of guilt. And I don't think it was. I think it was just a smokescreen that they used to try and scare ex-players, and it didn't work. It did not work. It did not work. It did not work. Also, Bennett, that did not work. Let's head into this Junior Seau situation. I can't believe this. This is a story that's mind-boggling for several reasons to me. They're saying they're finding new scan reveals proof of brain damage and living in a retired NFL players. New studies have found that the protein that is causing the brain to react in the way it's reacting is being found in living retired players. Now, they're saying NFL players, so you could tell they haven't reached farther back to see if this is affecting youth league, high school, and college. But I know this, and I will say this. How much of this truly can you blame on the NFL and others? How much? But without further ado, let's bring in our high school phenom, Miss Lady Julie Corona, to the Tony Sands Show. How you doing, Ju?
Good, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Ju, before you got on the show, I tapped into a breaking high school story here in South Florida. Everybody is flying around talking about everywhere you go. O'Connor out, quarterback Wade Freeback in at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. And that's been confirmed by Coach George Smith. Former Western quarterback has enrolled at St. Thomas Aquinas High School and began classes. What do you think about a story such as that when you hear that?
Well, I was like, wow. You know, I heard it today, actually from a couple different people. And I was like, the talent that they get over there is just ridiculous.
Unbelievable. True.
Yeah. And, you know, people will probably say, oh, how can he do that? All of these things. And, you know, I go back to, you know, at this point, I really believe that, you know, kids need to do what's best for their future.
That's me, Ju. That I can't sit around and say, you know, a young man here, I got to worry about what my guys at Western is saying, what my coaches at Western is saying, because given any opportunity, whether it be a coach getting an opportunity for a better program, whether it be another kid on that team getting an opportunity for another program, better program, they're gone.
Right. Right.
They expect the kids to always be loyal, but coaches are not loyal. Schools are not loyal. So why should the kids play at the same standards that everybody else is not playing at?
Yeah, I mean, we keep, you know, and Tony, we go back to this over and over. You know, we teach our kids a certain way when they grow up. But this game, it makes them have to do things that they normally would not be doing. And the kids didn't make it that way. Aren't the ones that made the game this way.
You're right. It is the higher-ups. What I call the higher-ups is the athletic directors, it's the coaches, it's the administration. These are the ones that created this out-of-control atmosphere.
And no one's going to say, you know, if a parent, you know, has a time for their child – to maybe get a better education, to do things that might be able to better themselves, that anyone could blame that, you know, that child for doing it. I don't think that you can.
No, you can't, and I know they're probably putting the pressure on him, you know, through his peers, and that's the first thing I think that gets to a kid, because he start wondering, you know, I left my guys high and dry, guys I sweated, blood, tear with, but this too will pass, and this young man is trying to better himself in a better atmosphere of competing, because when I look at it, and I'm saying to myself, not so much for the college, we play this game to win championships. We play this game not to take anything away from Western. But when I look at the Western,
they've done a great job.
A great job. But when I look at their district, and I look at Cypress Bay, I look at Miramar, I look at Cooper City, and I look at Western. When you look at the two big boys in that district is Western, Cypress Bay and Miramar.
Right.
At best, then you still got Flanagan. At best, he could possibly come out fourth in that district, and you don't win, and you don't even go into the playoffs. You get with a team like St. Thomas, and all of a sudden, you have an opportunity to win state championships and national championships with a guy like this. I'm going to take my chances on going to win state and national championships over just barely getting, you know, squeaking by in a district.
I think he's thinking about his future. College coaches, people don't want to say this, but college coaches look at that.
They do
look at that at the end of the day. Look at how many kids have received more offers after winning the state championship. Do the math.
It almost reminds me of guys like a school like Alabama. You win national championships and the NFL flocks to your pro timing day. That's why
exactly.
So many kids would love to go to Alabama.
Exactly.
The
atmosphere. So I don't think you can blame a kid at a younger age to try and secure his future.
No, I don't see it at all. This young man did what he needed to do for himself. And I'm going to tell you, coming from, and I know people may say I'm sounding a little biased. I've never seen a place, and I've been around a lot of guys, I've never seen a place that prepare you for the college atmosphere such as St. Thomas. To me, you're already in the college atmosphere. It's just the at. It would be to me like a Wake Forest type of atmosphere at the high school level. That's just how much this place prepares you for the game. These guys are getting up 5:30 in the morning, working out, getting their, you know, this is what they're about. And girls, this is what they're going to have to deal with at the college level. So what's the difference?
And let's not forget too, him choosing to do that is first of all, putting him in a more pressure cooker.
Yeah.
To win, because that's what they're known for. So it's really, he's saying, I'm going to take a bigger jump and put a lot of, you know, pressure on my shoulders to make sure that happens. But no one's going to talk about that.
No one's going to, you know, they're going to look at it in several different negatives. And you're hearing it now. I'm hearing it as I'm getting calls on it. I'm hearing it, people saying, here we go again. As some words I heard today, the rich continue to get rich. And like I'm telling them, why do you look at it in that terms? You don't say that in a sense when a kid has been done an injustice. You don't say, that university is horrible. And I read an article today, and this because it brought me back to where they were saying, every time I hear the word Arkansas now, it kills me. It kills me for several reasons. And I hear that Arkansas is trying to make headways here in South Florida. Well, buddy, you tried to make headways here in South Florida, but you've killed yourself. You've killed yourself here in the state of Florida. You've killed yourself here in this, to me, in the state of Florida, you killed yourself drastically.
Well, you know, I just think that the problem is when you get all these new coaching changes and all these things happening, if players were loyal to your school, because again, let's talk about, everyone talks about a kid's education. Everyone says you need to pick it for the education, not for the football. That's what they say.
Correct.
Then why would you, if you have players, and this isn't just Arkansas, it's a lot of schools that this is happening to now. You've got kids that were committed all the way through, 2 weeks Correct. Before signing day, 3 weeks before signing day, and you're cutting those kids loose. No one's talking about what is that player supposed to do. He had his Correct. Future set, was loyal. Kids all over the country. You know, Correct. There's kids that's happening this too in Louisiana, Georgia, all over. That you say, at what point is that university supposed to honor those kids for being loyal, because that's what they say they preach.
And that's
the question.
That is the sad part, because it's a lot of hot topics too that have been going on here in South Florida. I even touch on, I played a soundbite earlier, the NCAA with their investigation into the University of Miami have found themselves in trouble with this investigation.
Yeah, isn't that kind of funny?
The bullies have gotten themselves in trouble because they've done, you're trying to do wrong to get wrong.
Right, right.
I don't understand. And now everybody's saying they don't know where this person got the right to go and visit with Nevin Shapiro's attorney. Huh? That's got to come from the higher up. Let's not play crazy here.
Right, right.
You just don't go and do that.
I think it was, let's hope they don't find out.
Yeah. Let's hope they don't find out. Because the information that they received, was talked about today on ESPN, that it was received through a bankruptcy trial. Information that the NCAA would have never gotten if they didn't. And then they got a bill. And I guess once I send you a bill now, that puts the ball in Nevin Shapiro's attorney's hand. Now here go Nevin Shapiro, got more information that he can bring out. Now I'm going to sink the NCAA.
Well, because, then let's see, what would he do?
Yeah. And,
you know,
he is, to me, he's smiling because I said, and I said it all along, I think, to me, UM jumped the gun in a self-imposed ban. I truly said that. If you're going to get me, I'm going to give my seniors their due, and we'll deal with whatever thing comes after that. But I'm going to let these guys get an opportunity to play in a bowl game. And what comes, comes. And now we're finding what the NCAA tried to bully guys on, they may not really even have much. Now they got themselves into a whole nother web tangle to where, to me, if it was in a court of law, it would be a mistrial.
Exactly. Exactly.
A mistrial. And NCAA, you knew what I still say you guys knew what you was doing. You hoped that you wouldn't get caught. Now you got caught. Now everybody's turning their back saying, oh, I don't know where this person got that information. I don't know why this person went in there and did that. They should have never done it. Bull. Bull.
Yeah, but the tarnishing's already done. You know,
it's already done.
That's the heart conception is that you say, well,
done.
Now it's already out there. Everything's
yeah.
done. So the tarnishing of players, coaches, everything is out there. So what would they do to be able to get that back?
Yeah. That
you
that,
know, for recruiting purposes even. I'm just saying. You know, what
you
do you do with that?
You can't you imagine the money that the University of Miami have lost due to the fact of this investigation. When I say money, because players put fans in the seats, and how many players shunned away from the University of Miami because they thought some heavy self-imposed ban was going to come down. I mean, banned from the NCAA. And guess what? This may not happen, folks.
And I would say, what is that worth? You know, if I'm the University of Miami, what have we lost dollar-wise?
Exactly.
You know, they want them to pay dollars back if they were handed down penalties and all of these things. Well, now if I'm the University of Miami, I'm saying, what is that worth? What is that worth then?
And the sad part
about that, we have lost as a university. And who's responsible for that?
That who's responsible for putting this image out on us?
Exactly. I would assume that that would be toward the NCAA should then have to pay Miami back.
It's when you look at it.
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there. Defamation
of character. Yeah, defamation of character. You've scandalized
us
saying that all this was going on and it never did. Scandalized us and said that all this was going on and it never did.
Happened. And then all the recruits, all of the things that happened, you know, like you just said, with filling up stadiums and the kids that would have wanted to come to Miami prior. But did not because of this. And then, you know, I do have to give Al Golden props for keeping it all together. I do.
Oh, man, this guy,
think about it. He stayed having job opportunities, having all of these things, believing in the fact of what Miami is and that he felt. He wasn't sure what the handouts were going to, you know, what the penalties were going to be, but he stuck by his players. Does that not count for something, saying as a coach?
That counts to me. If oh my God is being recruited by this guy, that shows me that this guy has class, and this is the type of guy that I want to be coached under. And if I'm a parent and this guy's coming into my home, it shows me a lot of class about a guy that stays despite of, because a lot of guys would have jumped ship.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't as if he couldn't. It wasn't as if he couldn't. He had job opportunities. But what he preaches about the loyalty family, I would have to say, well, does that not deplete what we're saying, that it should be?
And that it should, Jude. That it should. Not let's just look here, Jude, before we go. We got about roughly about 2 minutes. Let's get into this little bit of this topic that we talked about some weeks ago, brain damage, concussions with athletes. New story out, new scan reveals proof of brain damage in living retired NFL players. Mind-boggling. Mind-boggling, Jewel.
But they still, knowing that, then again, let's bring back up the issue. What are they doing to protect the college athlete if something should happen? And they don't know this yet. But there's nothing that's in the works to protect the kids that play college if they don't go pro.
And I think what's going to happen with the Seau family filing a wrongful death suit against the NFL, I think that's going to probably open up some doors for parents who had kids that may have had these symptoms. And all of a sudden now, I want you to go back and look at my child's brain to see if this was a contributing factor in whether he committed suicide or whatever have you. Because I'm quite sure there are some kids in college that played college football that didn't go on to the pros that have had severe damage to the brain. And all of a sudden now, this lawsuit is going to open some doors. It's a floodgate, I guarantee you, that you're going to see a lot of cases that would take place because they're going to say you guys willingly knew this. And see, that's why I think a lot of this, a lot of people saying, well, I've heard, well, Junior Seau knew what he was doing when he was playing this game. But I don't think he was given the opportunity to see the research that brain damage causes on your long term. I don't think that was available to him.
No, and listen, let's not forget that people can say all those things, but this is their job.
Yeah.
This is what they do. And if people say you can continue to play, you're going to play because you have to provide for your family.
That's your family.
So
yeah.
when they start bringing all those things up, these are people who were really never even been in their situation. How do
Correct.
You comment
Correct.
On something that you've never done?
And that's
in that, you know, and trying to bring those facts up.
And see, that's what I'm saying to myself. Here we are. And to me, what they're saying is that the NFL knew about this stuff long time ago. And they kept it under wraps, that they knew about some of this, what these you know, statistics were, but they never stated anything about it. Now, if you guys knew that and you didn't reveal it to your players, then there's some accountability that's got to be taking place, because I look at it now and I'm saying to myself, did I know football was a violent game? Yeah, I knew it when I stepped on the field. But do I really know and being revealed about concussions? I can think back that I had some concussions, but I went back in because I thought my bell just got rung. Right. I can remember clear as day when I played University of Oklahoma my freshman year, my bell got rung. I'm a little woozy. I go on the sideline, drink some water, shake like I'm shaking out cobwebs, and I'm back in the game. And I'm back in the game.
Didn't feel the effect till the following day.
Till the following day. And I'm just thinking that
your adrenaline's going. That's why.
Right. I'm thinking I got a terrible headache. That's all I'm thinking.
Right, right.
But I found out, and I remember my son Deshaun, when he played at Monarch, he got hit in the head. Well, his head hit the turf. And we was up in Palm Beach, and at that point, I went to the sideline and immediately told him, hey, he would not go back in until I take him to a doctor tonight.
Right.
Not let him go back in. This game for him is over. And if you put him back in, then you got some serious issues.
And well, I know. The same thing happened with my son. Same exact thing. And
yeah.
And quite honestly, he had 4 concussions in his high school and then going into college and didn't play anymore.
That's crazy.
You know, and so, you know, there's things, and I think what we need to do as parents and adults is be able to protect the kids and what they have, and then, you know, parents have to stand up too, Tony.
Yeah.
You know, they all have to be able to put this in place, and I do agree with you. I think this can open the door for that protection for them. And hopefully it does.
And that's going to be the major question. Do this lawsuit open the floodgates to where you can start saying, guys, that how low do we go with it, Joe Judy? And I think that's going to be the question. Do we take it all the way to youth league? Do we take it all the way to high school? How far do we really go? And does this change? And this is one of the questions that was being brought up. Does this change the drastic pay scale in the NFL if these lawsuits continue to come down, or do the day of what we call the NFL slowly starts to crumble?
That's a good question.
Does it slowly starts to crumble? Do what we call the big boys on the block start saying, there's no way to protect against this? Technically, and I say it, I'm here to say it. They can say, you can't protect against it. How? Unless you wear some steel suit, there's still the helmet. I don't care how many helmets they make. Unless they make helmets that got steel around your brain, your head still, your bell still going to have a potential to get rung.
Yeah.
So that's the question that they got to ask. What type of helmet do we can say, okay, this helmet, only thing they're saying, this helmet lessens concussions. Because it's, I want to see the helmet that they say prevents concussions.
Well, I would love to see that myself.
Because I don't foresee it. It's going to be tough. Then does that change the kind of uniform? And we've seen this uniform thing evolve from the 40s to the 50s to the 60s, even when they had the leather helmets. Okay, it was a great revolution when they got the helmets that we have now. What's next down the line? Do we see the change of this day and age football equipment change drastically? Because I'm trying to figure out how you combat it and keep the game integrity where it is at this point. How?
Well, that's a great question. A great question.
That's the biggest thing that we got to look at. Drew, hey, it was great having you on. I'm gonna call you. We're gonna head to a quick 2-minute commercial. Then I got to bring on my NFL insider. We got a lot of stuff we got to talk about, Drew, that's going on with the Dallas Cowboys. There's a lot of things going on with the Dallas Cowboys. And he is our insider that's going to bring us the NFL stories. We're going to get in. I got to get into him with a little bit this junior sale. But it was great having you on. We got to get into more of that brain damage topic, and we're going to research it and bring it to you. Drew, thank you for coming to the show. I will hit you up tomorrow on our plans that we got to get going on our symposium, folks, that we're working on here in the South Florida area. But we're into a commercial break now, and then we're coming back with our NFL football insider, Mr. Von Carter, to talk NFL football.
If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now. If you have the need for speed, or do you simply just want to lose weight, or get the best training to help you develop your skills, whether it's football or any other sport, just to name a few different skills you can learn, like agility, balance, coordination, assistance, and resistance. In order to be the best, you got to get trained by the best. Tony Sands at GetSensational.com. For more information, call 954-691-7804. Once again, 954-691-7804. Call now.
Unfortunately for the Cowboys, there is more drama. This of the off-field, non-football-related variety. Jay Ratliff, their starting nose tackle, arrested in Grapevine this morning on a DWI. Calvin Watkins of ESPNDallas.com reported this. Just track down the details. That story will be going up on the website soon. We've got Calvin now from Mobile, Alabama. Calvin, you with us?
I'm with you. Good job, Tim. Good job.
Thanks, Calvin. Hey, what details do you have on this DWI for Jay Ratliff this morning in Grapevine?
He's on 114, and his black 2011 Ford F-150 crashed into an 18-wheeler. Grapevine police investigated and determined that Ratliff and the other gentleman that was in the 18-wheeler were not injured. Then they arrested Ratliff. And the charges were allegedly being intoxicated.
Now you heard that. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, Mr. Insider himself, the NFL guy for the Tony Sands Show, Mr. Von Carter. What's up, V?
Everything is good, Tony. How are you today?
Man, it's been a busy, busy, busy week in sports. From the Monta Teo to the Jay Ratcliffe to the Bill Callahan. I'm going to tell you, Dallas is hot. News coming out of Dallas is major.
Yes.
Let's get into it. Now, we heard that, you know, and man, I'm trying to grasp and put my finger on what could Jay Ratcliffe. What could he have been thinking? You feel what I'm saying?
I totally understand what you're saying, Tony, and I totally agree with you. You know, it's a shame. How many times have we heard in the media so many of these athletes just going out on the road and intoxicated and driving a vehicle when, you know, it's been known that the NFL has provided car service for these gentlemen. And most of these guys, Tony, I mean, truth be told, they can be able to afford car service, unlike me and you.
I'm telling you, you know, we're out. You know, I get a chance to go out with a lot of these guys. You know, I don't drink. So right. When I'm out with these guys, I become the designated person with all the sense because I'm not drinking. So I'm making decisions for multimillionaires. Hey, guys, hey, we can't have that, can't do this, we ain't gonna do that. And they know at that point they can relax and be themselves because they understand that the situation that I'm going to make sure that they are thinking on the right terms. I hate to leave any guy that is drinking and there's no cab service or anything. I would rather stay there with the guy and make sure they get home. But then when you look at Jay, the star nose tackle for the Dallas Cowboys. And when I bring up DWI, it takes us back to December 8th when backup nose tackle Josh Brent was charged with involuntary manslaughter resulting in the death of friend Cowboys practice squad player Jerry Brown.
Right.
Wow.
A horrific story, Tony. And you would think that Jay Ratliff would have, and anyone would have learned from that scenario. You know, it doesn't take you to actually go through something to be able to embrace it and understand the severity of it. And for Jay Ratliff to exhibit such negligence is horrific. And I mean, the guy's lucky to even be alive is the only good part of the story. He still has his life, but he crashed into an 18-wheeler. He's lucky to even be alive today.
And when you say we talk about how he crashed, imagine him hitting the 18-wheeler running out of control, crashing into a car. Here we go again. And I think this is going to, because you got to understand, Jay Ratcliffe, he comes with some baggage with the Dallas Cowboys. Him and Jerry Jones got into a heated argument in the locker room one time. A heated argument.
Not too many people, as we know, Tony, have arguments with Jerry Jones, and you stay on the Cowboys.
Let me tell you something, man. And Jerry is a guy, when he walks into a room, he brings an aura to himself that you know that this guy has swag. So how do you, as a player, decide that you're going to argue with your boss and still be around?
Especially Jerry Jones.
Still be around. So you know, V, he has to be a heckified defensive tackle. He didn't have a stellar year this year, but in past, he's been a great player for the Dallas Cowboys. So now we look at this situation. Do Jerry says, okay, enough is enough, and I got to make examples of guys. And in this instance,
with him cleaning house recently of Rob Ryan, which was a shocking move that he made, and recently he got rid of the running backs coach, as we all know, Skip Pete. I think that, Jerry is basically right now on a war path, basically, to make adjustments. And Jay Ratcliffe, I think, may have picked the wrong time to be doing a very negligent move on his part. And I think he may not be with the Cowboys next year due to this horrific move.
And now you're not with the Cowboys. How fast do a team pick you up? Because they start questioning your character. Because here you are, you play the same position as a guy that just did the same thing that led to a death of another man.
And he was on your team at the same time, too, which obviously something's not resonating with Jay Ratliff. I mean, that Brown was on his team. So, I mean, he should have really been able to see that as an example. But obviously, something's not resonating with Jay Ratliff right now.
You just buried a guy. You just buried this guy. You just buried this guy.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you do the same thing. It ain't like they found you, just slumped over. This happened after you ran into an 18-wheeler.
Jay Ratliff, that sounds like to me, Jay Ratliff is lining himself up to be playing for maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars or a team like that.
He should be out of town. That's what you call the fastest way to get shipped out of town.
Do that. Yeah.
And, to stay on the Dallas Cowboys, to stay on their topic, there's some stories coming out of Dallas about their new OC, Bill Callahan. Bill Callahan.
Right.
Wow. Did Bill Callahan truly sabotage the Super Bowl for the Oakland Raiders, for John Gruden and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win that game? Listen, before we get into it, let's listen to a quick soundbite on that about
Absolutely.
Bill Callahan. Let's check that out. And that was, you know, that audio, I'm going to tell you, Vaughn, when I dug up that audio, it was audio 24. When I dug that up and I'm listening to this audio, I'm saying to myself, wow, man. How deep does this thing
go? Now, Zach, this is where it gets interesting, because you just suggested the team had to change its offensive attack because of the disappearance the day before the game of Barrett Robbins, the talented but somewhat troubled offensive center. According to Tim Brown, it actually worked the other way. He said that when Bill Callahan came in and said they were changing the game plan, Barrett Robbins begged Callahan, don't do this to me. I don't have time to make my calls, to get my calls ready. You can't do this to me on Friday. We haven't practiced full speed. We can't get this done. Those are direct quotes from Tim Brown. So it sounds like at least Tim was suggesting that those changes were made before the disappearance of Barrett Robbins. What is your recollection of that?
Well, unless Tim knew something that we didn't know, you know, and I was led to believe the day before, hey, make sure y'all get massages and everything, because, you know, we're going to run the ball. You know, hey, that's Tim Brown. He may have knew something we didn't know, but, you know, we would have believed that, hey, we're going to run the ball. But then when Barrett disappeared, you know, it had to be changed. You know, you got to adjust to a different center. You got a different guy that you're going to put in that hasn't really played all year, you know, and that's a change. You go from an all-pro center to a lone snapper, and Mike, you're going to change.
Now, V, you heard that, and I believe my guy. You know, I say my guy because I trained Zach Crockett for over 13 years of his NFL career, and I was close when that Super Bowl was taking place, because me and him was going on the phone back and forth with each other, and he never led me to believe that there was a sabotage taking place that drastic where you would know that.
Right. Well, you know, Tony, I think it's an interesting debate. I have to first say that I think that Bill Callahan is a very good coach. I don't think he's a great coach, but I think he's a very good coach. And I think that he may have made a crucial mistake, according to Tim Brown and guys like Crockett and Barrett Rudd and a lot of other players who are coming out now saying that he did this. I mean, to be able to change your offensive signals and your game plan a few days before the biggest game of your career,
correct.
I think that was very detrimental in them possibly being able to win that football game.
Yeah, I mean, and then now you got to understand, you're going up against Gruden, a guy that built that program that you inherited. So this guy's going to know some of your places, so you got to make sure that the game plan that you put in is the game plan that you're going to live and die with. You can't change it that night before, and I think that's what led to Tim Brown saying, you know, I think this thing might have been sabotaged. That's his boy. He wanted his boy to win. He didn't. Tim Brown was very adamant when he said that Callahan did not like the Oakland Raiders.
Wow.
He did not like the Oakland Raiders. That was adamant. Jerry Rice said when he came to the Oakland Raiders, Bill Callahan didn't like him at all. Did not like him at all. And
you know,
when you look
at the subject, and I think it's really for guys like Tim Brown to come out and say that, Tony, you know, who are distinguished people on and off the field, like Tim Brown. I mean, I think we got to hold some kind of precedence to it, you know, especially for being that Tim Brown, a guy with his magnitude and his respectability, has actually come out and said that. I think that's a big thing.
And then, like you said, Jerry Rice matter. Why, like some of his comments, why would you wait till the last second to change the game plan? And that's coming from one of the best receivers to ever play the game, Jerry Rice.
That's right.
He's been around a lot of football.
Oh, yeah. The best wide receiver ever to play the game.
Yeah, so if this guy's saying this kind of stuff, he's backing his guy, Tim Brown, on this issue that, hey, we might have made some changes. You know, you tweak things, but you don't change a complete game plan. You just don't change a complete game plan at all to try to get ready the night before of any game. Now, Bill Callahan now becomes the OC of the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow. As the drama continues. continues in Texas, Tony.
In Texas. That's why I say it is hot in the Lone Star State, because now how many fans, after hearing this, have confidence that Jerry Jones is making the right decision to bring in Bill Callahan and take play calling duties from the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
I think it's an interesting thing that Jerry's stepping in. Again, we'll go back to the point that we made a moment ago about how Jerry's making household changes. And
yeah,
for him to basically take the keys away from the car, from Jason Garrett being able to drive the car, so to speak, I think that's a big thing. And for now,
correct,
Bill Callahan's going to call the plays. I think personally it's going to be better for the Cowboys. I know Cowboy fans may question it, but I think it's in the long run it's going to be better. I think Callahan's going to have a more balanced offense, offensive attack, so to speak, where Jason Garrett at times, you know, got pass happy and didn't kind of focus on DeMarco Murray and Felix Jones, so to speak, at certain times of the season. So I think in the long run it's going to be actually better for the Cowboys, although I must agree Jerry Jones has made some decisions, like with getting rid of Rob Ryan, in my opinion, which have been totally suspect moves.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. Jimmy Johnson even stated that he told him, listen, in order to be an effective head coach, you must be an overseer. You can't call plays, Jason Garrett, and be a head coach. It is a tough situation. Jimmy did not do that. That's why he brought in North Turner. I'm going to let you call the plays. I'm going to oversee, because I want to see the oversee the offense, and I want to oversee the defense and the special teams. I want to oversee everything to make sure that everything is going on the up and up. Let's get into a little bit, you know, of the playoff game.
Okay.
Hardball boys. What do you call it? The Super Bowl, the Hardball Bowl, or the Ray Lewis final finale?
Oh, well, we can call it the Hardball, which will be the two brothers' name, which, with the word bowl at the end, so it'll be the Hardball. But
correct,
I agree. This is Ray Lewis, the greatest middle linebacker, in my opinion, that we've ever seen play the game. And what fitting way, Tony, for this guy, a Hall of Famer, the greatest middle linebacker ever to play the game, to go out in this final game and it to be the Super Bowl.
Let me tell you something. No one couldn't have written, if he goes out and win the Super Bowl, there's not a movie producer in Hollywood that could have written a better script.
I agree.
At all.
He deserves it better also than Ray. I mean, such a mentor to other players. I mean, I don't think Ray gets a lot of credit for what he does for the players around the league and how he talks to these young players and established players. And he's really a father figure and kind of like a big brother and father figure to so many players around the league. And for him to have done it for so long now, and now to have the final finale, for him to go out in this last game to possibly be able to win one last game and it be the Super Bowl, I think it's just fantastic.
And that's why so many people, I think, around the nation is pulling for the Baltimore Ravens, because they're pulling for Ray Lewis, a guy that have went through his struggles. And that's why, if you heard a tweet that Wex Walker wife put out, it was crazy that she would go on and tweet something what she tweeted.
I saw that, and, you know, it's a shame that, you know, the New England Patriots – team, coaching staff, family and friends, it just seems like that they can't lose with pride. You know,
correct,
Bill Belichick after the game, Tony, I don't know if you saw it, but Bill Belichick's post-game interview was appalling to the sport, to journalism, and to everything that has to go on with the integrity of the NFL. I mean, he didn't answer questions. He mumbled his words. It was just appalling. And to see how the New England Patriots overall just handle losing, I just think it's really something that, you know, Roger Goodell needs to really look into.
And that is true. That is true. Guys, we got to run here on the Tony Sands Show. That's my insider for the NFL. V, are you heading up to the Super Bowl?
I'm trying to definitely get down there, Tony, for sure. You know, I definitely think, as I mentioned to you before, I definitely think it's going to be a great game. And the Baltimore Ravens, I think I got them in the game.
Okay. Hey, I'm going with the San Francisco 49. I love my guy Ray, but I'm going with the San Francisco 49. We're closing out here. AV, call me if you come. I'm going to head out Wednesday. Call me, man, and we'll hook up out there in New Orleans. Woo! New Orleans! Here I come.
You know it, Tony.
New Orleans. Here I come. We're closing here on the Tony Sands Show. That was my boy B here on the Tony Sands Show. He is our NFL insider. Until next week, I bring you the Tony Sands Show from New Orleans. Thank you.
Already written, I will rise to the top. Now I give it everything that I got. Yeah, I'm gon' ball, yeah, I'm gon' be prepared for them suckers that be hating on me. Raised in the world that's so cold. Why so much hate? I don't know. Stereotyped and they can't see how it is growing up as a young G.